For the last few moments I have, I would like us to turn to the scriptures. So if you could turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and just for the remaining time that we have left, and we'll look at verses 21 to 23. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. It reads this: "And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you as holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." As we think of these words, I want you to think of a life-changing moment that happened in your life. All of us have experienced a life-changing moment in our lives. And one of the biggest life-changing moments in my life was the moment that I held my first baby girl. When I held her in my arms, little Talitha, when I held you in my arms, I knew that life was going to be different. I knew my life is going to change. I knew the way I spent my time was going to be different. I knew the way I spent my money was going to be different. I knew the way she was going to spend my money was going to be different. My life was really going to change. And for those of you here that are Christians tonight, all of you have experienced a life-changing moment. And it was the moment that he entered into your life. Because when he enters into your life, everything, absolutely everything, changes. And who is he? Colossians speaks wonderfully of who he is. In verse 15 it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Who is he? He is the one who is over all of the universe. All things were made by him. All things were made for him. All things were made through him. This is who he is, the one who is over all of creation. But not only is he over all of creation, he is over all of the new creation, namely the church. In verse 18, he goes on, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." He is above all creation. All things were made by him, for him, and through him. And he is above all of the new creation. In him we are reconciled to God by his cross. And when he enters into your life, everything changes. And who is he? Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ enters into your life, it is like a truck hitting you in the face. Something has to change. And Jesus Christ changes everything. He changes who we were, he changes who we are, and he changes who we will be. In other words, he changes our past, he changes our present, and that means he has got to change our future. Look at what it says here about how he has changed our past. Verse 21, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." This is how we are defined. Look at those two first words, 21, "and you." You see, he goes off on this song-like sentences from verse 15 to 20, singing this song about who Jesus is, and now he points back to you. Who is Jesus? This is who he is. And now he points the camera back to us and you. Who are you because of who he is? You were once in the past alienated from God. Which means this, we were strangers with God. Don't know if you've ever walked into a room and been a stranger. You don't know anybody and it feels awkward and strange and weird. Well, what it says about us in this world before we knew him, we were walking around as strangers to God in this world, alienated from him. And not only were we alienated from him, but it says we were hostile in mind toward him, which means we hated him with our minds. And you say, well, I didn't really hate him in the past. But the reality is our actions revealed our hatred toward him. We were defined as people, in the end of the verse, who are doing evil deeds. This is who we were, defined by those evil deeds. You show me what you do and I'll tell you who you are, because what you do will tell me a lot about who you are. If I follow you around for the week, I will know what you love by what you do. And this is who we were in the past. But it is possible this evening that there are some here that this verse doesn't describe your past, it describes your present, who you are right now. You are a stranger to God. You are an enemy of God. You are defined by your evil deeds. And could I just say to you this? That doesn't have to define you anymore. That too could be your past if you would turn to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sins, because he will cleanse you. He is the one who is over all creation. He is the one who is over all the new creation, and you need him over your life. But for those of us this evening who are Christians, there is one word that is glorious. And it is the word once. You were once alienated. You were once hostile in mind. And you were once defined by your evil deeds. All of us in this room have something in common, don't we? All of us have a past. And if you are a Christian, the marvelous thing about the gospel is you are no longer defined by that past. You were once those things, but listen to me, Christian, you are not anymore. Why? Because not only has he changed your past, but he has changed your present. Look at verse 22. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. What has he done now? What does that say in verse 22? He has now reconciled us to God. This is what he has done. And reconciliation speaks of this reality that there is a broken relationship. Who of us here hasn't been involved in a broken relationship? Some of us here right now are involved in a broken relationship. Maybe a broken friendship or a broken relationship in the family. Or maybe, just maybe, it might just be possible that in this room, there are broken relationships. Does that happen in the church? You see, I can say these things because I'm just visiting. I don't have a clue. But it's possible. And how does that relationship get fixed? If I was to ask you, how does that broken relationship, how will that broken relationship get fixed? Well, you would say to me, well, here's how it's going to get fixed. That person has to come to me, and then they need to fix it and apologize to me. And if they do that, then maybe our relationship will have a chance. And what we're saying in that, what we recognize in that, is that the person who does the wrong, in our view, is the person who is supposed to initiate the reconciliation. But here is the wonderful thing about the gospel. The wonderful thing about the gospel is this. It is the one who is innocent of all wrongdoing, the one who never spoke any wrong word, the one who never thought any wrong thing, the one who never did any wrong thing. He is the initiator of the reconciliation. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He initiates the reconciliation. And he does that in order to do something, in order to present us holy and blameless and above reproach. See, there's a question we don't really ask too often. It is this: why did Jesus die? And the scripture gives us many answers to that, but one of those answers is here. He died to present you as holy. And I love that word, presentation. Because when I finish work each day, maybe 5:30 or whatever it is, maybe I come home later from visiting someone or whatever it is, and I come in the door and I'm greeted by my children, and sometimes it's wonderful. Sometimes it's an absolute mess, let's be honest. I mean, things are going crazy. But sometimes it is absolutely wonderful when I walk in the house because I'm greeted by one of my little ones, usually the 4-year-old. And this happened actually this last week. She greeted me and they're writing, you know, doing their Valentine's cards. And I knew what was coming. And I walked in the door. She grabbed my hand and she said, "Daddy, Daddy, ran me into the kitchen. And of course, she could just show me, but no, you need to build a suspense, right? So she grabs the sheet and she puts it behind her back. She says, "Daddy, Daddy." I say, "What?" She says, "Look." I say, "Wow." And we all know the truth, right? But I say, "Wow." One day, dear brothers and sisters, one day you will be presented before the Father and Jesus will say, "Look." And on that day, you will be presented as holy. Not because of you, but all because of him. Holy, blameless, and above reproach. And what is it that happened that changed the realities of verse 21? You were once alienated, hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, to now holy, blameless, and above reproach. What is it that happened to change these three realities to these three realities? What happened to change these three past realities to these three present realities? Let me tell you what happened. The cross of Jesus Christ changes everything about you. And if your past has been changed, and if your present is changed, that surely, brothers and sisters, means that your future must be different. That's what it says in verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. You see, Paul's concern for them at Colossae is that they would continue in Jesus Christ. His concern for them is that they would remain stable and steadfast and not shifting from the hope of the gospel. That they would stay true to the gospel that they know. Why? Because there's these teachers that are around at this time, these false teachers that are influencing them and saying to them that Jesus isn't enough. It's kind of like this. We have these cameras that we carry around with us all the time. We call them phones, you see. And we take these pictures with these cameras all the time. But what you've noticed recently is that the pictures that we take with these cameras, the pictures, they're not enough. The originals, they're not enough. So what do? We add a filter to these originals. Why? Because we want to make them look better. And here's what the teachers are trying to do at the time. The original Jesus, he's not enough. You need to add something on to Jesus. You need to add angel worship on to Jesus because he is not enough. You need to add Jewish traditions onto Jesus because Jesus is not enough. And what Paul is trying to say to them is Jesus is absolutely enough. Jesus is over all creation. Jesus is over all the new creation. You don't need to add anything to him. You don't need to take anything away from him because he is the perfect original. And that is why Paul is saying, because he has changed your past, because he has changed your present, listen to me, brothers and sisters, keep going. Stay stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, it is possible that there are some here tonight who are wavering in their faith, and their faith is growing cold. And you need to pray a prayer like David in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And at the end, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And it is possible tonight there are some who are considering, slowly but surely, walking away from Jesus. And Paul would say, continue in him, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. We all know someone, don't we? That person who was so vibrant in their faith and yet walked away from him. Friend of mine, my best friend at the time. In terms of theology, he would have wiped the floor with anybody in this room. In terms of evangelism, he was a keen evangelist. In fact, in the start of the work in Passage West, he was there with me on the streets with the teenagers. He hosted a radio show, a Christian radio show down in Cork. He could sing and play guitar. He could teach, and he taught in the church, and he preached. He led worship. He did evangelism. Got it all right. We had an accountability relationship. And he used to sit down with me as we used to have, well, he used to have coffee together. I just have Coke because I don't like coffee. And he used to tell me 97% of the truth. And he kept 3% back from me. Cheated on his wife, left the church, and left the faith. He did not continue. And what that proved to me was what it says in 1 John. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Those who are in him and saved by him continue in him. Because he keeps those he saves. Brothers and sisters, do not turn away from Jesus. I'm reminded of that hymn. I'll close on a hymn, sure, why not? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And I love that song, not just because of what it says, but the way it is sung. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you hear what it's saying and emphasizing? On Christ, the solid rock I stand, listen to me. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Therefore, brothers and sisters, do not stand on sinking sand. Stand on Christ. And Christ alone, because he changes everything. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have reconciled us. We thank you that one day we will stand as holy and blameless and above reproach, not because of our own works, but because of you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we are reconciled because of you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we would be those who are stable, steadfast, and stand firm and hold to the great glorious hope of the gospel. Amen.